Proper Sport at 6. You won't miss a minute, whether they matter or not.
Fire it, he's going to dummy, he's going to
yes!
win!
Yes!
Curry's over the line. No, he isn't. He's lost the ball.
He's intercepted.
He's off.
He's gone.
Go on, Johnson.
Go on, Johnson.
This is the home of full match commentary. This is Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire.
Good evening and welcome. It's that time of week again, Monday night, 6 until 8. We're talking all things Rugby League. The World Cup is underway. England beaten by the Aussies, but it's not the end of the road. Can England bounce back? Do you expect them to make the final? And if so, surely they play Australia again. Lebanon beat France. New Zealand gives Samoa a bit of a touching up. Tonga beat depleted Scotland. Papua New Guinea, rampant in front of their home fans at Port Moresby, beat Wales. Fiji beat Brian McDermott's USA. And Ireland, are they the dark horses of the Rugby League World Cup 2017? We'll be looking back at all the games involved. Who shone for England? Who should they be bringing in? And who will replace Sam Burgess for the Whites? Elsewhere, we'll look at what's going on in the world of Super League. The Bash is back in the Championship. Is it time for the Bash to go? Who will go and watch it this or next year? Especially with teams like Toronto in there. They're surely not going to take too many to Blackpool. We'll find out. We'll talk about that and more here. As always, we need your interaction more so than ever tonight, because it's Mark, Rich and Phil. The legend, he's left us. He's taken his mushy peas on tour. Don't know anyone. Did you see the banner at the game at the weekend? What was it? Mushy peas and mint sauce on toast?
Yes, they got it wrong.
Outrageous. Absolutely outrageous. It is Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire, at RL on RY on Twitter. You can get in touch on Facebook as well. And Phil, you're with us for an hour because tonight you are doing a very, very, very good deed.
Well, I don't know about that. I'm just trying to highlight the fact that obviously we do have homeless in our cities and trying to encourage and raise some money for a fabulous charity in Leeds called St George's Crypt. So, yes, there's a sleep out, which I'm going to be part of, hoping that the temperature doesn't drop too low.
So that's at Headingley tonight. Whereabouts are you going to be sleeping?
On the Carnegie stand.
Right.
On the terrace. So if the wind whips in, we'll feel it with those two stands.
That is going to be quite cold.
It's going to be quite cold. But then the people that unfortunately have to sleep out don't have any say in that either. So we're going to lend some moral support and hopefully raise some money for them as well.
Very good. How do we sponsor you?
There are people more worthy than me that you can sponsor. So I'm there for moral support. Don't worry about that. But if you go on the Leeds Rugby Foundation website, or even people like Leeds Building Society, their chief executive's doing it, Leeds City Council are doing it. There's plenty of info out there if people do feel they want to donate.
All right, well, we've only got you for a short while, so let's talk Rugby League.
Well, I was going to say, we can say what we like about SCOE, which is great, isn't it? Because he can't hear us. It's 4 o'clock in the morning. So when Have I Got News For You didn't have a guest turn up, they put up a tub of lard, didn't they? Mm. We've got rid of our tub of lard. It's great.
Oh, that's a bit harsh.
I know, but he can't hear. Don't tell him. Yeah. No, I just think we're imbued with Rugby League World Cup spirit at the moment. I absolutely love the seven games we've had. I think the sport is on its global pedestal that I think it deserves to be. I think every game had something riding on it. The biggest match in terms of the result was Lebanon and France. I thought that was the best game of the opening round as well. Every nation has got something they can point to as a positive, even those in defeat. I think the three massive highlights for me were just seeing the faces of the people in the crowd in PNG. The atmosphere there sounded fantastic watching it. Reports coming back from people that were there saying it's like nothing they've ever experienced before. A whole nation coming to a halt to support Rugby League is joyous. I think the Fijian singing, particularly the hymn before the game, just magical. You know, if you want to question why people are playing for the nations that they're playing for, just watch the Fijians doing their hymn beforehand. That'll tell you everything. And I just thought the try that Lebanon scored to win the game, Mitchell Moses, the if he was here, he would be lauding it.
The legend.
Yeah, the run up the middle and then the chip and chase over the top and catch and score. It was reminiscent of him in Melbourne in 92, and great way to win the game. And seeing again all the Lebanon fans just in absolute ecstasy that they'd won their first ever game in the World Cup, probably now going to qualify for the quarterfinals. So many positives. I just think it was brilliant.
We've got a few technical problems.
Sounds it
apparently.
Like. I like the fact that 73 people are watching on Facebook but can't hear a word we're saying.
Yeah.
Which is more than some of the radio stations.
Give them away. They can't. Where's Tom? Where's technical Tom?
I've asked.
People are saying Scully's sabotaging us. He's not even here. What's going on? So I presume the people on DAB are fine. It's the people online. Here's technical Tom. He says he's sorting it out.
Yeah.
Have you turned it on and off, Tom? Is that what people have got to do?
If worst case scenario, radioyorkshire.co.uk.
Apparently, that's not working either. It's been sabotage. You need to start earning your money, son. That's what you need to start doing.
Yeah, it is working. No one's saying it. So I'm glad to say, but people are now stopped listening. No, it's working.
We're here. You can't believe what Phil's just said live on air. You have to download the podcast.
Got away with it.
You have to download the podcast. I don't think anyone heard Phil. We're all right. We're safe. Welcome along. Everyone's telling us we're on. Look, it's nice to be wanted. Yeah.
So do we have to do that introduction again about how good a weekend it's been?
No, we'll discuss that more. Listener, dear listener, not only did every one of you listens in tonight get the chance to win this magnificent book, 100 Days That Shook Rugby League. That was nearly one of them, 101 when the sound weren't coming on then. But we are giving away a copy of that. Everyone that got in touch with us last week gets in touch with this week. Chance to win a copy of that book by Richard de Riviere. We'll be giving that away this evening. Phil has got he's got some charitable duties to participate in after 7 o'clock, so we need lots of listener interaction tonight. So we will we'll be looking for your input. World Cup, NRL, Super League, the Bash. I want to know, Rich. I want the listeners to tell us: is it time for the Bash to get the Bash and go? What do you reckon?
I think Dewsbury and Batley may have killed it off last year, that final game of it. No disrespect, Dewsbury or Batley fan listening, but it wasn't great, was it?
No, it wasn't.
I may have imbibed on one or two of the sponsors or previous sponsors' products, as we should probably now say.
Yeah.
It's a competition without a sponsor at the moment, isn't it? Unless
I think they're hoping to announce a new one on the 1st of November when the fixtures come out.
Oh, OK. Just before we go on to the World Cup and get your thoughts on that, Phil, because I know you've basically watched every minute of every game this weekend. Summer Bash, time to go. Is it outdated now?
I'm not sure what we're trying to achieve from it anymore. I think if it's part of the regular season fixture list, there's a relevance to it. But I really don't know, as an extra set of fixtures, what we get out of it. And the headline that came out at midday was you can watch, you know, Lee play Toronto. That's going to be the big game because of the ill feeling between the two teams when Toronto was set up and Paul Rowley moved over there and took all the play. That's great if they haven't already played each other, which I think by the time the Bash comes round, they probably will have done. I'm really not sure that we get anything out of it, that the derbies that are used as part of the incentive to go. It's the fourth, fifth, sixth time that these teams play each other when you include pre-season friendlies, and I just think it's run its course unless it's part of the actual regular season. I am surprised that they're going on with it. Maybe it's a Sky thing. They've got to cover a certain number of games. They have a commitment to the Championship, which extends to showing the Bash and then the qualifying eights. We don't know yet. We assume there are going to be qualifying eights, but I would think it's more a contractual obligation with the broadcaster rather than actually something that we're going to be necessarily seeing multi-crowds at.
Interesting. Richard's off to press some buttons, I think. I don't know what's that. We've got the Gremlins. The highlight of the weekend, anyway, never mind that. We're seeing the Mushy P banner at the England-Australia.
RL and RY goes global.
Yeah, there you go.
What reach?
Mushy P's on toast.
He never leaves us, does he? Even physically when he's not here.
Have you heard from him? Has he been ringing you up?
I haven't personally heard from him, but I know people who have. And Yeah, he's having fun. He was a very proud man when he accompanied the flag in the opening ceremony. Though who told him beige was a good colour? I have no idea. I was just surprised he had a jacket, to be honest. I think he's enjoying himself.
Worried me, right? The reaction of people on Twitter at RL on RY Twitter handle was when it was announced he was leading out the flag. Hopefully he's going to have some clothes on. I mean, what does that tell you about the man himself?
I shuddered to think, to be honest. But fortunately, he did us proud. He looked as though he was relishing the honour bestowed upon him, which is great. I would imagine that not only has he enjoyed the England performance, because there's so much to be positive about, but also if he's seen any of the other games, you're just uplifted, I think. I'm a fan of International Rugby League and no apologist for that. I know he is because of, obviously, joint record holder for Great Britain, but I think we've seen some things just in the first week of a competition that's going to get better as it goes on that make you think that this is the key to getting wider exposure for the sport of rugby league.
Yeah, it is indeed. What have you made of week one of the World Cup? Let us know on Twitter at RL on RY. You can get in touch via the Radio Yorkshire Facebook page as well. Now, I've got to be honest, the trending topic on the old Facebook page, Phil, it's your jumper.
Excellent.
Right? Glenn says, nice jumper. Andrew says, has Phil got his Christmas jumper on early? Robert wants to know if you've got Scully's jumper on. Dawn says Phil's rocking his Christmas jumper. Your jumper is bang on.
I think it's only fair to say it is a Christmas jumper circa 1974.
Right, okay.
So what was vintage is now retro, but no, it's to keep warm for later, to be honest.
I'm feeling a bit left out because Richie's got a nice woolly jumper on and I'm just sat here with my shirt on. So the topic we've discussed so far, Rich, is jumpers. The listeners are loving they're loving it. Lots and lots to get in touch about. The World Cup, then England beaten by Australia. Phil, where do we go with this one?
I think the most important thing from an England point of view is that for 39 of the second half, 40 minutes, we really had them worried. We knocked them out of shape. They didn't seem to be as assured in their get-out sets. We had two fantastic wingers, of which Jermaine McGilvery, rightly man of the match. I think James Roby coming off the bench changed the dynamic of the game. I think his midfield authority immediately put us on the front foot. I think the minutes that Ben Curry got are going to be really significant now for the games against Lebanon and France. You can see him slotting in at the centre, which releases John Bateman back into the pack, where I think he can cover for Sam Burgess, certainly till Sam's back, hopefully, for the quarter final. I was encouraged. I think the respect from the Australians at the end was genuine. I think we made a great start to the game. We defended too much on our own line, which is why we conceded the points that we did. But for the majority of the defence on our own line, we looked really organised, really solid, really well drilled. I think that the halfbacks will grow as a combination. I thought the Aussies were really clever in targeting Widdup and Gale on defence in those early stages to try and take a bit of the steam out of them. The only thing we really need to improve on is our kicking game. I didn't think we caused them enough trouble with that. And Josh Hodgson, when he came back on, dropped into the loose forward role. We had a set of six near their line relatively late on when we could have drawn the game. And it was a really aimless, poor kick on the last tackle that he seemed to take on his own initiative. I think, again, one of the halves should have said, no, this is what we're building for. This is how the set's going to end. We probably didn't get enough back-to-back sets, but as an opening game, I was pretty happy with that. I came away thinking, if we face them again, we've given them something to think about.
Rich, what do you make of it? England beaten 18-4 in the end.
I thought we did a hell of a lot of defending in that first half, and we looked okay doing all that defending. I thought, at half-time, have we defended too much? By midway through the second half, are we going to be too tired? Are the Australians going to blow us away? And they didn't do that, which has got to be a positive. There were plenty of encouraging signs within that performance from England that make you think we could end all those years without winning the World Cup. And of course, we know in the end we won't. It's like Leeds, you know, Australia will win, but at least at the moment we think we can.
I think we need to be aware of the fact that Australia will get better as well. We're not the only team that's going to improve, and certainly Cronk and Morgan had a relatively quiet game by their standards, but they're a new pair and they missed Jonathan Thurston. There's absolutely no question that in the first half, when they turned the ball back inside a couple of times and couldn't quite finish it off as a try, that if it had been that Smith, Slater, Cronk and Thurston had been there to finish it off, they probably would have been tries. So they will get better, but I just genuinely think that we haven't made a World Cup final in the Super League era. We could. I think on the basis of what we saw in Melbourne, we've every right to think we could. And that's even acknowledging that there are more nations now than there have ever been playing a better standard of rugby than we've ever seen before.
Yeah. What was the moment of the... I know you picked a few out. Probably people couldn't hear you before, but what was the moment of the week? No, I'm being serious. We have a lot of listeners on Facebook. I think we had a few technical issues. What were the standout moments? Not the England game, but the weekend as a whole.
I think we had three. And so the whole idea of a nation coming to a halt in PNG, the look on people's faces when that game was taking place, the absolute unbridled joy to have rugby league of a World Cup standard at a home ground of theirs, the atmosphere, the noise that they created, the fact that even the pictures coming back now on social media of both buses as they left the ground getting absolutely heroes' welcomes, you know, kids running along the street to wave to the Welsh, just almost thanking them for coming out there. I think that was so heartening. That would be the first one. The second one would be, I think there's been too much talk about are some of the players playing for some of the tier two nations genuine? And listen to the Fiji hymn before they played. That tells you everything you need to know about what it means to these people. See the interviews with people like Robbie Farrar about his Lebanese parentage and grandparentage and why they are playing for these nations. But that Fiji hymn encapsulated that, not only beautifully and harmonically sung, but you know, Kevin Naguama with actual tears rolling down his cheeks as he sang the national anthem. So that would be the second one. The third one would be an on-field one. I'd thought the Lebanon-France game had the most riding on it anyway, but actually the try that won it was just exceptional. Mitchell Moses taking on the line, chip over the top of Mark Corella, who'd been really good for France, regathering at speed and scoring to win the game, and the joy not only on the Lebanese players' faces but their fans in the crowd as well. I think they were the three highlight moments, and team of the weekend would be Ireland.
Yeah, we'll talk more about Ireland in a moment. Lots of people getting involved on social media, so it's only fair we hear what they've got to say. Rich?
Well, welcome to England's scapegoat for World Cup 2017. And this is my highlight of the Wakefield season. He's about two rounds in. Who's to blame for Wakefield being rubbish? And for the last 2 years, everyone said, oh, Liam Finn's too slow. And then it turns out in the end that Liam Finn, he's still any good. And as he's proven at the weekend, he is still any good. But the problem with England's World Cup side, who's to blame for England losing to Australia? Stand up, Luke Gayle. Yes, you're the one to blame, Luke Gayle. Dawn says, was disappointed with Gayle. Robert says, thought Luke Gayle was poor in defence for two of Australia's tries. Apart from that, very promising. So it's all Luke Gayle's fault. So drop him and bring in George Williams, whatever.
OK. It's not the way forward, though, is it, Phil? They've got to try and build on what they've got.
And I think there's enough in that Widdop-Gayle partnership, particularly against Lebanon and France, which you've got to look at the opposition coming up. I think you keep with that partnership. It will grow. I don't think there's any doubt that neither of them kicked particularly well. I think Widdop visibly tired because of the amount of defence that the Aussies have thrown at him. That, you know, if we thought the Aussies were going to do anything other than target the Dally M standoff of the year, then we were fooling ourselves. And yes, Gayle's kicking game needed to be better. I would say that on some of our exit sets, and certainly when we were attacking on their line in the second half, we didn't come up with enough. But yeah, I thought Lomax, who we haven't spoken about, was perhaps a brave selection, we were saying in here last week. Thought he caused again the Aussies some problems because he's unpredictable, and had he held onto a ball when it should have been shipped wider, Ryan Hall possibly would have been in. There are a couple of times where we kicked to the wings, Hall dropped the ball back as he would do in a club game, and normally he'd have a centre like Joel Moon there to create something. No fault of John Bateman's, but it's not second nature to him. He caught it and then thought,
the problem,
what do I do?
When you play people out of position, you are taking away from their excellent game.
I think Ben Curry was always earmarked to come in and play in the centres for the Lebanon and France game, and because of the lack of game time he's had, they didn't want to expose him to the Australians. But I think that will work now. And Bateman will probably move and cover the space vacated by Sam Burgess's knee injury. So I think it will work. Wayne Bennett has a way he wants to play, and he needs certain players to play that way. I'm pretty certain that the Ratchfords and Percivals will play against France if we beat Lebanon, which I think we will. I think that one win will get you in the quarterfinals. The second game then, against a team that probably won't be able to make the quarterfinals, you can give somebody a bit of experience and game time. I think we were all right saying that he should have taken another back within his squad of 24, but having seen the way they played in the first game, there's not a lot to fix.
Okay. What's happening on social media?
So you can listen.
Everything's mended.
Everything's fixed.
That'll be costing.
The interesting thing about John Bateman, of course, is him playing out of position. If everything else had gone differently, would Zach Hartnett have been playing in that position? Rather than saying Johnny Lomax wouldn't have been at fullback and this and the other, would it have been Zach Hartnett there? We will never know.
No? Well, we won't now.
I think it would have been. I think the answer to that is yes, he would have been playing as a centre inside Ryan Hall. And going back to those kicks that went up that were palmed back, if it had been Zach Hartnett on the end of them, they would have led to something.
He's
no,
not there.
Exactly.
And even I can't blame Wayne Bennett.
I think Curry is the answer. He looked very good considering his lack of game time that he's had this year.
Scully thinks Curry's the answer, but that's...
Does he? I've changed my mind.
That's after 8 pints. Oh, sorry, we're on about something else now. A lot of love for one of our local players.
Tom says he was great, loads of positives to take out of the game. Halves need improvement, just hope Kevin Brown doesn't come in, which will mess it all up completely. Oh, it's a bit harsh, Tom.
What would you do with Josh Hodgson? Because I thought, having said that, obviously Roby changed the game when he came on, do you now start with him? Does Hodgson become a bit of a luxury? Would you maybe go with George Williams on the bench to give you options to move people around? I think Hodgson needs to up his game because you look at Lebanon, who are our next opponents, and there is absolutely no doubt that the three key players that won them that game were in the spine of their team. So obviously Mitchell Moses, the goals that he scored, the try that he scored, he's the pin-up boy. Robbie Farrar moved to scrum half. Again, a bit of a masterstroke having in the middle of the field. And then I think Michael Leacher coming off the bench was, again, the reason why they went on and won that game. The try that he set up just before half-time and then the one at the end for Moses, and also the work that he did to get Moses in position to drop the goal. I just wonder whether we perhaps now have Josh Hodgson as something of a luxury and start with James Roby.
Fair dues.
Do we just keep him away from the ball and the key tackles where he might have been getting in the way of that?
Possibly. I mean, the other thing we will have is Alex Worms, so they've said he's going to make his debut against Lebanon. He would have made a difference coming off the bench against Australia, particularly in that second half when we were on top. So, as an England fan, I think we might have been fanciful saying we think they can make the final. On that first 80 minutes, I genuinely think they can.
OK. Well, yeah. That might be a Twitter poll for us to put out in the second half of our show.
I would say I've asked who do you think should start, either Hodgson or Roby. Let us know. Don, another one, says, on a positive, Jermaine was brilliant, as was Hall. Lomas did OK, and that hurts being a Wigan fan. We'll like to team at Meakin in the team. I'm sure we'll get a chance over the next couple of games. Shell says McGilvery was sensational, definitely the man of the match. Andrew says when it matters, the Aussies will not be messing about and will blow us away. Cheers, Andrew. All that optimism there, it's all in the bin now.
I think we did give them something to think about. Let's not forget our NRL players, who are the core of the team. They haven't played for 7 or 8 weeks. So, the affiliated states run out was great, but it was an opposed training session. But, James Graham's going to get better. No doubt about that. I think Tom Burgess looked really strong as well. So, we needed the first game to be a benchmark. We didn't necessarily need to win it. And I think that's what Wayne Bennett was getting over in the lead up to it. And all of the indications are that for the bulk of that second half, we were the better team.
Good stuff.
Well, Matt thinks Hodgson's overrated. So that's another one. Here's an interesting one from Barry. Why not play the Leeds wing centre partnership? They know each other's game.
Because
they don't. They're playing opposite.
Don't play together
for Leeds.
At home, do
yeah.
They?
No.
Yeah.
Maybe they want Tom Briscoe called up as well. Derry says, Thursday evening felt like Christmas Eve as a kid to me, really enjoying this World Cup. Brian says, Widdop needs dropping for Williams. See George Williams at the end of the season.
I just think Widdop and the way he's played this year, again, I would go back to the fact that he hasn't played in a really competitive game for almost 2 months.
There's a lot to be said for this building up, isn't there?
Yes. I think for the Tier 1 nations, you build into a tournament. And again, I'd go back to 2008 when New Zealand won the competition with a certain Wayne Bennett on their coaching advisory staff. The first game, New Zealand were easily and heavily beaten by Australia. Didn't stop them winning the big game.
Okay.
I think the lesser nations have to start a little bit more running because they only will get probably one opportunity. You make a mistake, you're likely to be out. That's what I quite like about this format, that there are meaningful matches every week. You're not going through a group stage as we sometimes do in the Football World Cup, where it's far too predictable, in the Cricket World Cup, where even the Rugby Union World Cup, there's too many games that don't have meaning. You know, we've had already almost an elimination with France and Lebanon. I think next week, the most exciting game, cannot wait, PNG and Ireland. And it's almost as if there's a game every week in this build-up where teams are going out if they don't play. But for the bigger nations, you're building up.
People criticise the Rugby League World Cup because only three teams come in and only three teams have ever won it in history. Although, of course, if England win, that'd be four. So that'd be all right. Only four teams have ever won the Rugby Union World Cup, but no one says, oh, it's... You know.
I think
the Cricket World Cup's only won by, you know, a similar number.
Just as an overview of the tournament today, and you shouldn't obviously read too much into seven games, I genuinely think we have got more nations who we could predictably say are going to be in contention for the semi-finals than we've ever had before. And we haven't even spoken about Tonga yet, who were the sensation in the lead up to the game. All of the headlines about the so-called defections of players to choose to play for a tier two nation. It's not a defection when you turn down $30,000 to play in a tournament to get 30 a day as your food subsidy. It's an actual choice. And when you looked at that Tongan team, and full respect to Scotland for at least holding them for half an hour in the second half, they've got everything. And as some of these Pacific nations in the past have always been big and always been skillful and always had a good pack of forwards and big outside backs, but they haven't had that link in the middle. But the way Lolahia played, I just think Tonga have got something. Fiji, who have made the last two semi-finals, didn't give any indication that they weren't going to be contested in the semi-final this year. Because, again, they've got Jared Hayne at six. And all of the strike threat we know that they've got, to have a guy now organising them in the middle of the field, that's massive. I think Ireland and their pack are and proved that they can match it with anybody. PNG were just really excited that they've got all of the three games at home. And they've, you know, we talked about Castleford changing the way rugby league might have been played this year. What about four hookers in the same team? Seem to work for PNG. Is that going to set down a marker? There's so many teams that could make an impression in this World Cup. That's why we should be excited about it and celebrating it.
Well, I tried to explain this with Tonga to someone the other day. Andrew Fifita has pretty much given up a winner's medal. They're the massively odds-on favourites to win this tournament. He was in the squad of the team which are supposed to win this World Cup, as we're told by everyone outside Rugby League. It's a possession, they'll win the cup in December, and I've said the same myself, and they probably will do. But he gave that up to play for Tonga.
And again, on the coverage or on social media, if you haven't seen it, there is an interview where Andrew Fifita goes along to his parental house, and his father, who translates into Tongan, tells the grandfather that Andrew was elected to play for Tonga, and his grandfather can't do anything other than break down in tears because it means so much. Now, when you look at Robbie Farah, who has a whole team round to his house and they're all eating Lebanese food and partaking of the alcoholic drink of choice, and they're all doing the cultural dancing together, this means something. We shouldn't decry it. I don't think there's any team out there that's got someone who doesn't want to be there, that's using it as a badge of convenience. Kyle Amore's try for Ireland, when virtually the whole Irish pack leapt on his back, the unbridled joy, that wasn't somebody that was going through the motions. It meant something. And it's the same with the Italians. You know, the James Tedesco, of course, if he'd been picked for Australia, probably would have played for Australia. But he's talking about his heritage, and it means everything, and we shouldn't be ashamed of it.
We saw Brad Singleton in the mix zone after the grand final. He looked absolutely shattered. You can't tell he's just come off the end of the season, because this is important. And this is, we have to keep trying to explain to people who think rugby league, it's only played in the north of England and Queensland and New South Wales. It doesn't matter if Australia win every single World Cup in the history of the sport. It doesn't matter, because it matters to these people that they get to represent either the country they were born in or their heritage. And everyone who goes to these games and everyone who's watching at home is enjoying it.
I think Michael McAlorum said it best on his social media feed, because I think there was some criticism of, oh, how Irish is this Irish team? You know, the surname McAlorum, it's Irish. My mother's Irish. I'm really proud to be wearing this shirt. And he dominated the game against Italy as well. And if they didn't care, they wouldn't be putting themselves through it in tropical heat. They do care. I think there's a bigger issue here as well about where do we go with this between World Cups. And it's been a constant debate, even in this studio, about how do we replicate state of origin? How do we get our players up to a level somewhere between the weekly competition and what you need to do to beat Australia and New Zealand? I think we're seeing it here with these home nations, that if you can keep them together, if you can harness the pride that is shown in the Scotland shirt. How good was Matty Russell in defeat? You know, never stop wanting to take the ball up. And if we could have a home nations tournament maybe on two weekends over the season, and which is again why we need to shorten the domestic season to allow us to play these games, and you had semi-finals on one weekend and it was, I don't know, Ireland against England and Wales against Scotland, and then the second weekend, which might even be a month after, you had a third and fourth place playoff and a final, and they're all for world ranking points. And more importantly, out of those games on the fourth year, you get a genuine representative Great Britain team. What's not to love? That's got to be the way ahead on what we've seen this weekend.
Yeah, it's looking that way. Looking that way. We'll see. What's happening in social media then?
Well, I think a lot of people are enjoying just seeing different teams play rugby league, because, you know, we do see a lot of the same teams watching rugby league a lot, which I'm sure is something we'll come to later in the programme. Dean says his most impressive performance of the week was from Ireland. He might be biased because he had three Wakefield players in the squad. And the quick brain of Liam Finn. Also on Ireland, a few more comments about that. Dave Began says Liam Finn is the Leonard Bernstein of rugby league.
Wow.
His conduction of the Irish team was sheer poetry, a joy to watch.
There you go.
See, we have learned listeners.
Yeah.
We do, and they also eat peas on toast, which is the other, you know,
yeah, from one end of the scale to the
other. We cater for everyone.
If you are out in Australia and you get a banner on television, especially on the BBC, saying hashtag peas on toast, but mainly at RLNRY and Radio Yorkshire, we will send you a proper prize. If you get it on the BBC, it's a bigger prize. I'm not saying what it will be, because I don't know, but we will send you something good.
Yeah, yeah. Think bullseye. It'd be something completely inappropriate.
It's a crate of peas, we know that.
Yeah, but a tin of peas signed by Gary Scofield. Yeah. Coming to
you. Never know. You never know.
Mary would like to see PNG in the final. I mean, I've declared for them now, because their national anthem's brilliant. We're independent and we're free. Papua New Guinea. That's what we're all about.
So, Warrington, I don't know if it's been announced yet, look like they're going to sign Kurt Baptiste, one of the four hookers that played for PNG. He's going to be a really, really good signing for them. I also think that there was a player that you always see that you think he'd be so suited to Super League. If I was perhaps on the lookout for a ball-handling second rower, Brendan Santi, who played for Italy. Absolutely fantastic. I know it was in defeat and the Italians as a whole were disappointed, but every time he took the ball in, he managed to get it away. So if I was a team looking for a back rower, a ball-playing back rower who might be better suited to the way we play than in the NRL, get Brendan Santi's agent's number.
Paul's hoping that Cass get a World Cup game at their new stadium. Well, what new stadium? He says, speaking to someone from the other end of the Wakefield postcode district, which still hasn't got a new stadium. Brian says they shouldn't be able to play for a second nation. If they are that passionate about the country of their heritage, they should play for that heritage nation from the start. I don't think we're big enough as a sport.
If we had more fixtures, rolled out over a proper international calendar,
I think they would. You've got to start somewhere.
I think they would.
Yeah, and
that's the thing about in 2000, Ireland had a fantastic team. You know, we're talking about the likes of Steve Prescott, Barry McDermott, Terry O'Connor, Chris Joynt. There were loads of, I think if you get the books out and look at that Ireland team, virtually every player was a top flight player. A couple of Aussies like Luke Ricketson was thrown in there as well, David Barnhill. That Irish team got to the quarterfinals. If you'd have then not gone for necessarily an exiles concept, but kept Ireland together, and they would have played every year in an international slot against England, and Scotland and Wales, who've lost all their development officers' money, could stay together as an international group, then we wouldn't keep going back to the same point that we're in. Bring this Irish pack back with Brad Singleton in it and Anthony Mullally in it and Michael McAlorum in it and Louis McCarthy Scarsbrook in it, who I thought was, again, sensational.
Well, it's a Super League pack, isn't it? You look at Singleton, McAlorum, Amor, McCarthy Scarsbrook, Roberts and King were your starting.
Roberts was fantastic. Absolutely brilliant. Tackled everything that moved.
35 tackles, didn't miss one.
And if you say to them, middle of 2018, you can come back together again, and we must credit Mark Aston. I think he had his team brilliantly prepared, tactically and physically, in that heat. And you can play against England, and the end game is that in 2019, Great Britain will be reformed. So you're not losing anything by playing for your home nation. I don't think it is a second choice then. I think they've got the ability to plan long term and say, I'm totally committed. Liam Kay looked great on the wing. He's had a brilliant season with Toronto, relishing the fact he was playing on the wing and picking up a couple of tries for Ireland. If he knew that the midway through next year there's another Ireland call coming, why not? And he can put himself up against Jermaine McGilvery, and let's see who's the best winger. And you could be playing on tour against the Kangaroos in a three-match tour in 2019. Fantastic.
Yeah.
Craig says Fiji looked big and powerful and skillful. Granted, it was only against the USA, but the good news for the USA is they all sung the anthem. They all stood up, so Donald Trump is now their favourite international team. Just wait till he gets to meet Brian McDermott. It's going to be great.
I think
he might sort him out, actually. Go on, Brian. Get over to the White House.
I think, again, the Americans emerged with credit. When you think that they've made a conscious decision to go down a different route to some nations and pick 12 players that play in a fledgling domestic competition, and they were absolutely completely outplayed for 40 minutes, to come back and put in a really, really good half an hour stint where they looked like a properly drilled rugby league. This is a tough game. You know, you don't need to make many mistakes to concede 50 points. You can miss one in every six tackles and concede a try, and then you don't get the ball back. They looked like they were well drilled, that they knew what the game was about, and scored a great try at the end themselves. We're unlucky not to have another one right on the stroke of half time. And they'll look at Italy this week and go, why can't we win a game?
They were relentless, the Fijians, weren't they?
Oh.
With the ball in that first 20, 30 minutes. Absolutely relentless. And I'm surprised the Americans could get back up and defend, because that's all they were doing, is just defence.
But they did, and you know, we shouldn't be apologising for any of what's going on over there at the moment. It can only be to the benefit of the sport.
In all World Cups, in every sport, there'll be one or two thrashings, because there will be. And we shouldn't say, oh, well, we should let's scrap everything.
And we have, but what constitutes a thrashing? I would have said in a couple of matches, you looked like teams were scoring at a point a minute. We were going to get up to 80-0. Mm. Nothing finished 80-0.
No, didn't. It was good. I watched probably the majority of that USA game, and spirited effort. And as someone who backed Fiji on the handicap, Brian McDermott is still ruining my rugby league season, even though it's finished.
Hashtag handicap tie, as it was in the England game. That's that 2 points that referee gave him with that penalty. Boo. The referee's been very good, haven't they?
Well, that's something, again, we haven't really spoken about, but there has been nothing but universal praise from the Australian side for the manner and standard of the refereeing, that they love this one official who's making decisions. They like the control that they've got over the players, the way they speak to them, the way they're dealing with issues. I think they even have been prepared to forgive the odd mistake. Mm. And I do think that the referee in the England-Australia game came in for unfair criticism. There were three penalties. It was a game that flowed. That suited England in some ways. And yeah, the three decisions went to Australia, but the referee wasn't the reason why we lost.
Fair dues. Fair dues. RL on our wire. You can get in touch on the Radio Yorkshire Facebook page. For those tuned in tonight, Phil is leaving us very shortly. Not permanently. We've not sold him to another inferior station. But you're off doing some charitable work at it tonight. You're off on a sleep out, Phil.
Yes, going to be in the Carnegie Terrace at Headingley. Hopefully with a group of people that are raising a significant amount of money for the homeless in Leeds, and particularly St George's Crypt. And I think it's the very least we can do for the hardships that they've got to put up with. So, yeah, going to support them and hopefully be a good night.
Yeah, yeah, should be.
We'll be talking a bit of rugby league, I suspect.
Good stuff. We might come with you then for the second hour of the show. Rich, you're perusing the Rugby League World Cup website.
The media guide, just because someone has... this is Martin, he says, the commentary has been disappointing. I'm assuming he's talking about the Channel 7 commentary, because every single game we've seen, bar the England one, has been from Australia. He says he wishes Andrew Voss was doing some. That's broadcasting rights and things, isn't it? I heard one describe Mullally as a Wigan player. Never been so offended on his behalf. And I just thought I'd check the media guide to see he was described as Leeds Rhinos player. He is described as Leeds Rhinos player, so... It's
there are some good commentators and summarisers out there, but in the same way that we're unfamiliar with some of the players playing for nations that we don't see on a regular basis, they'll get even better and more clued up as the competition goes on. But Andrew Moore is a fabulous commentator. Andrew Ryan is a great summariser. Mark Braybrook's good as well. The highlight packages that have been put out sell the sport magnificently, and the commentary enhances it.
Very good. Very good indeed.
A bit harsh on Paul. Everyone will sleep well with Phil talking to them.
Oh, Paul.
That's
Paul.
Fair.
You're out of order. You're out of order, Paul.
It's fair. That's why I'm going.
And your sister says you've had your jump since you were 15. Is that correct?
13, I think. But she's not far off.
And it still fits you.
I know. Eh? Once an athlete, never an athlete.
Exactly. It's all in peas, you eat. It's all in peas. go on.
Well, Wayne says, is my memory correct, and did Phil mention last week that the fixtures for Super League are out on Wednesday? Nothing's been mentioned by the RFL, but that doesn't necessarily surprise me. Welcome to the RFL bashing part of the programme, because another one to come in a moment. And that is correct.
We certainly know the Championship and League One fixtures due out on Wednesday. We were told that the Super League ones would also be available, but not heard anything official yet.
Because what happens is every year, or used to be, they'd send them out, someone would break the embargo and everyone would get upset, so they don't send them out under embargo anymore. Hence why this morning the summer bash fixtures were under embargo, apart from the fact they were in the League Express and Toronto tweeted them out hours before 12 o'clock anyway.
Oh, well. Is anyone really that bothered?
I don't think
it's just teams playing each other at different times.
Yes, mainly home and away.
Yes. And at Newcastle.
Yeah. Kev says, has the cash that should have been going on promoting the World Cup been spent on Nigel Wood's pay rise? P.S. What does Brian Barwick actually do? Well, we don't know, but it's
well,
not the RFL's job
Kev,
to do this.
We've had Nigel in. It's not up to us how much he gets paid. That's up to other people. But I do agree with you, Brian Barwick. What does he actually do?
Well, he's over there in Australia.
Well, of course he will be. Yeah, of course
he opens doors.
What does he do when he's here?
opens doors.
Chairs meetings. That's what chairmen do, apparently.
Right, OK. Do we ever actually decide anything in these meetings? Or
Rubber stamp, maybe. I don't know.
I'm not sure the RFL are responsible for the promotion of a competition.
No,
they're organising.
I think what is a fair and relevant question would be, what has the profit of the previous World Cup, which we were told was over £3.5 million, been spent on? Has some of it obviously gone on David Collier and his position, which didn't exist before the last World Cup, but did we not hold some money back for marketing? There'll be an issue, I'm sure some will raise, about have the crowds been big enough? Is that because we asked cities to bid rather than put the games necessarily where would be the best place to put them? Is the schedule, because of that, now means that even if you're out there, you can't go to multiple games like we all did in 2013? There's no midweek matches. The next game we will see will be on Friday morning. That's partly because of the money that they've gained from cities bidding to host, which has guaranteed a profit for this World Cup. What will we spend that profit on? I think there are issues, again, about bolstering domestic leagues, and that if we seriously want a legacy, then we have to see the Ireland, Scotland, Italian domestic leagues, Lebanese, bolstered with monies that is profit from this World Cup.
Okay. Well, we will have a look at that and we will see. You can keep getting in touch at RL on RY. Lots of people getting involved.
Yes, loads and loads on the World Cup. Gavin says the best game so far has been Lebanon versus France. Best atmosphere, Papua New Guinea, Wales. Which I think everyone's looking forward to Papua New Guinea Island just to have more of the same of that atmosphere. But the Irish might not be looking forward to it. They might do in
I think they will be.
Yeah, I think they'll relish it. I think that. And the other thing about the Irish performance that was so impressive was that that was done under oppressive heat and humidity. Mm. So going to PNG in terms of conditioning is not going to be an issue for them. And if there are a group of men who you just read out that can stand up to that PNG physicality, then well, I reckon the Irish can.
Yeah, the likes of McAlorum, he's not going to take a backward step, is he?
He's going to see James Segura and go, well, you think you're going to get away with what you got with against the Welsh? I don't think so. Yeah. How good was Gary Lowe? Castleford fans, again, must be relishing the fact that he's coming over.
Well, there will be, but he's already said he's off the NRL. So
is he?
I thought that was that was quite...
How is it?
But at least he's come out and said it, and, you know, as opposed to weaseling his way out of a contract.
I just thought that was... I've just been reading an interview with him. Yeah, he's got his agent on with it. Wants to move to the NRL.
Right. Okay. Maybe he thinks Cass playing the NRL. I don't know.
Maybe
he can move on.
Josh Charnley might be back though.
Yeah. Well, someone's messaged in about that
because Andy Baptiste will be a good signing for the Wire. Josh Charnley also rumoured in the press. Any truth? Well, as long as any club doesn't pay any money to Sale, that's fine.
Well, apparently Sale are after another winger. I don't know how rugby union works, but they're in the market for a winger, and they're not going to let the man we dare not speak his name go.
Yeah, well, so we can mention it. Solomon, it's all right, we can mention it.
Snake.
I'd rather not. And so that might mean Charnley is...
Well, I must admit, when it happened, we all thought, he'll be back.
Yeah.
He'll be back.
But there does seem to be some reshaping going on at Warrington with the Murdoch Masilla signing now confirmed. How good was he for Tonga coming off the bench? Yeah. I think Warrington are making a statement.
Yes, they are, but they've got a bit of a rebuilding job to do. They are starting with that rebuilding as we speak.
Paul said, it's a shame I've seen more about Union Six Nations than the Rugby League World Cup. The World Cup and the Super League suffers massively from poor marketing, needs to change.
Well, you need to invest in the same level of marketing that the Six Nations do. I actually think we're doing all right at the moment. The truth is that we're getting pretty good coverage on terrestrial television. We're getting some really good social media coverage. The people that are out with England are putting some great stuff out. One of the things I really have enjoyed watching is the Rugby League World Cup social media feed is putting together on a daily basis about 1.5 minutes across all the teams of social media. It's really good. I think we are getting out there. Every national newspaper, broadsheet and tabloid is taking coverage, which we don't get during the Super League season. I think we're working from a very low base, but we are actually hitting some new markets, which is great.
Mm. Don't think we could necessarily afford to criticise some newspapers for putting out 8 pages, but there you go.
No.
And that's why I'll leave that one. Jonathan said, I was out in Melbourne on Friday night, could not fault the lads for effort, but couldn't agree with the centre and full-back selection. Dean says, something I learned on the World Cup was you could get a juicy McDonald's in Australia. I upset someone from our national broadcaster yesterday by tweeting that. I'm enjoying the coverage from Channel 7 because they have a McDonald's Champions of Play moment at half-time. It's a bit like they're watching the IPL where everything's sponsored. And the fact that you don't get it on the BBC. And someone from the BBC took exception to that.
Oh, did they?
It's like they don't understand irony. I don't know. They don't understand a lot of things. Elsewhere, on Twitter and Facebook... loads of stuff about the Magic Weekend and the Bash. I'm sure we'll talk about that after 7. And the demise of Oxford and Gloucester and the formation of Bristol.
Yes, so they're out. They've gone.
Paul's excited about it. Lovely city that will watch rugby league, he says.
Yeah.
We need to know who the backers are of this Bristol consortium. The worry for me at the moment is that we're going a year without rugby league in either Gloucester, Oxford or Bristol. So we are, again, by choice, starting again. Why are they not in 2018? There are a group of 25 players who are based in the south of England who are not going to have a club to play for. And for a sport that's struggling at its participation levels, I don't fully understand that either. My worry in the statement was twofold. One is it was reported that Ralph Rimmer was saying there never was an expectation that these clubs would belong necessarily long-lasting. I think there was.
Yeah.
And the other thing is, we're hoping that Bristol would come along. I don't think you announced that two teams aren't going to be there unless you definitely for certain know. Having spoken to some people involved in the community game in Bristol, they're quite buoyed by what might be happening. Again, concerned a little bit that there's going to be a lapsed year. But if that year is used to build up this Bristol team, and that some of the local talent is going to be involved in that Bristol team, and that volunteers are going to come on board and it's going to filter down into the community level, that's the kind of help that they would relish and enjoy and are looking for. But it just all seems very rugby league vague at the moment. We've been told that there'll be a World Nines in 2019, no details yet. Told there's been a Kangaroo Tour in 2019, no details yet. Told that Bristol are going to be in League One in 2019, no details yet. Told New York's coming on stream in 2019, no details yet.
One of the shames with Gloucester is obviously their tie-up with the university, and one of the things they have done in the past year or so is stream their games live on YouTube on a Sunday, and it may only be to a tiny audience who wants to watch Gloucester play rugby league, but it's given their students an opportunity to do that and learn, and it's given, you know, people like me who sit in a studio something to watch on a Sunday afternoon. And it's a shame that more clubs don't do those kind of tie-ups. Now, obviously Gloucester, it was easier because they're part of the university, but clubs at League One level, who we now know can do whatever they want because they don't have a media deal, it'd be good if more of them teamed up with their local universities or colleges, because we do need fresh blood in the rugby league media, because there's a distinct lack of quality commentators coming through.
Fair enough.
I can say that's not one. Oh, Vic, don't even start. Mary says she loved the hymn sung by the Fiji lads. What do you think of the Australian poem thing?
Needs work. I have to admire Cameron Smith, because I think if I was preparing for a test match and all of the everything is pre-planned and detailed about your warm-up, to be able to stand up and recite some poetry from memory before you go and do that, you know, again, that's another string to his bow. I just don't think it worked. What I do like is that this isn't something new that they thought of. This is something that they're going back to that happened 50 years ago. So we talk about heritage in the game, we don't pay enough respect to it. The Aussies used to do a war cry. It wasn't necessarily the Kiwis that just did a haka. It was the fact that the Aussies had a war cry. And not only that, I think to have done it for the first time in 50 years shows respect to not only the nation but the competition. So yeah, it's easy to criticise that Jonathan Thurston might have forgotten a couple of words in the middle.
Which is good, because he might have sworn on the telly, which is always good.
It wasn't desperately well coordinated, but I think they should do it again, and I think we should be grateful for the fact that we're paying homage to the forefathers of the sport.
It was about in 1959, Hull and Hull KR played as a combined 13 against the Australians near the programme. There is the war cry that the Australians used to producing in Aboriginal. I don't know how accurate the translation is, but we are a race of fighters descended from the walls. Beware, 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 beware.
Sounds good to me. Sounds better than Rise already.
The kangaroo is dangerous when at bay. Come on, come on, to death.
Like, that was when Hull and Hull KR could combine to form a team. Now they don't want to play each other.
No, but they have got an academy together. Yeah.
Yeah. But they don't want to play each other at the Magic Weekend. What are you making of that?
I think, again, it's an indicator of the fact that familiarity ultimately breeds contempt.
Hold on, though. We've lost the whole derby. Yeah. Super League's a much poorer place. Now we've got it, we don't want it.
Well, we don't want it five times. It goes back to
don't play each other as a pre-season friendly, and that'd be a good idea.
And if the Magic Weekend was part of the regular season fixtures, as the Bash should be, then you still only see them play each other twice. And then the playoffs.
The problem there is that, you know, if you said to Hull, well, sorry, lads, you're losing your home fixture with Hull KR, which they could quite easily get 20,000 at or 15,000 at. That's a lot of money to Hull.
Absolutely. But I think the idea is that we not only have Newcastle as our showcase, we take a set of games on the road as well. So everybody loses, in inverted commas, a home game.
Yeah.
But the money generated and the future money that will accrue from more people going to those events because they're seeing the sport in other parts of the country, that will compensate for it. If Hull and Hull KR then met in the playoffs on Humberside for the first time, in it, that would be sell out. Mm. Now, at the moment, we've got a problem that our playoff games don't get crowds.
Yeah.
Is,
that's right.
Is the red herring, which also well, happens in football as well. Oh, sorry.
Yeah, Phil's got to go.
Well,
I'll leave it to the
wait till the news.
Well, yeah, but we've got adverts to play.
All right. Well,
so we'll
thank you.
Farewell. Thank you for coming in.
It's a pleasure.
You get through the night. I mean, we can't even laugh about it because there's going to be some poor souls out there
absolutely
doing this.
That's why we're doing
that's
it.
That's the only option they've
yeah
got.
Yeah.
So we wish you well. Hope you raise a few quid. We'll be back with more live Rugby League chat after 7 o'clock. It is Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire.
Proper sport at 6. Want your say on all things Rugby League? Radio Yorkshire, every Monday, 6 to 8pm. Opinions welcome, but be prepared to fight your corner.
Good evening and welcome back to Rugby League on Radio Yorkshire. My apologies to whichever member of staff's piece of bread I've just eaten while I had a little bit of snap to get me through the next hour. No legend, I've even had to make my own cup of tea. That technically might not be correct. Tom might have offered to make one earlier. In fact, he's just come in the studio now to threaten me with violence, so Tom made the cups of tea. Thanks to him. Listener, dear listener, we need your interaction for the next hour. It's Richard and I. The salary cap is biting. You know, as all the coaches say, half my salary cap's in the stand. Well, tonight, one half of it or one quarter of it is in the stand at Headingley, sleeping out rough, raising money for charity. The other quarter of it is in Australia getting drunk probably somewhere.
I was
going
to say he's in a bar somewhere, isn't he? Yeah.
Yeah. So we will move on. Gary Schofield brought on the flag. They put his name wrong, didn't they, on the telly?
Well, and people are blaming the BBC. It's not the BBC's fault, this. That's the host broadcaster.
So we can't blame him for that, then?
No. He even spelt his name wrong. Isn't he a Gary with the two R's and not a Gary? He is. But it's interesting, as someone who has far too many rugby league programmes, many of his early games at Hull, they spelt his name wrong. That's the club he was playing for. Unless, you know, some kind of something wrong with his contract. Wouldn't put it past him. Hmm. Nigel says, sadly, most of us didn't get to see Scoey as the BBC ignored the entire opening ceremony. Well, they've got to fill in those interviews with Jamie Peacock somewhere, haven't they?
Yeah, I know you were a bit upset about
I wasn't. I think they should show things like that because they're part of the whole build.
We watched the opening ceremony of the Olympics, etc., don't we? So is it not part of the...
Yeah, it wasn't that long either. It was about 10, 15 minutes. Yeah. It was all on Premier because they took the feed direct from Australia. So
I enjoyed it.
It, you know, it, in effect, it's just people walking around the pitch with some music and flags, but it's still part of the atmosphere. And then the players came out at the end of it. So
we've heard Scoey before on this show talking about how PNG, when he went there, he said you can't believe it until you've gone and witnessed what those people are like when it comes to rugby league. I think we saw a glimpse of that at the weekend. In some ways, it's a shame maybe them or Ireland are going to potentially go out of the tournament this weekend because you get the feeling it is winner takes all.
It is.
What are you laughing at?
I'm laughing at Vintage Square, which we can't read out about what it said on the caption on Channel 7. He didn't say that, Vintage.
See, even Vintage spelled his name wrong. You're abusing him and you spell his name wrong. Come on, have a bit of respect.
It's a shame.
We don't mind the abuse, but spell his name right, please.
It's a shame, isn't it? But I guess if you have a convoluted format, which we do, for good reason, then you are going to lose a team like this into the quarterfinals, which is a shame. But I guess you either go back to something like, you know, was it the 2000 World Cup where we had the New Zealand Maori as a separate team, which was a bit of a nonsense, wasn't
it?
Whether you have more teams in the World Cup, are there other teams who would be at the level of the 14 teams who were there? It's difficult to say. And we don't want blowouts, do we? We don't want big scorelines. So, you know, 95, didn't England and Australia both put 100 points past Russia? And that doesn't appear to have done well for Russia, does it? So it is a shame one of them will go out. But that's the format, unfortunately. And I just can't wait for that game. I think not that our eyes have been open because we knew how passionate the Papua New Guineans are about our sport. And it's their sport. But it was just to see it in colour on TV in front of you, you thought, yeah, this is what the World Cup's about.
It is.
About these teams, about these players, and about giving opportunities to people. And You know, as much as we enjoy the World Cup over here, there's something more exotic about it being overseas, especially when you get to see the crowds in PNG, who obviously love their rugby league as much, if not more, than we do. And I guess the thing, and Jesse said, you know, in front of a sellout crowd was a highlight. Look strong, and many look like they could do a job in Super League. Isn't the job now, as rugby league is an international sport? Yes, they've been brought into the Queensland Cup, the PNG Hunters. It's almost as if now we say, well, shouldn't there be an NRL franchise in Papua New Guinea? I don't know financially if that's
that might happen. But that might happen.
You've got to imagine. Can you imagine that?
I know Mark Aston has already come out and said a few of the PNG team have inquired about coming to play for Sheffield. Yeah. Obviously, got great links there. Yeah. You would imagine, you know, the teams have kept some money back, haven't they? I know some of our local sides have just got one eye in case there's any talent there that might just pick up the odd player. I see our man Matt Horton has elaborated more on the Josh Charnley.
Yeah, apparently sailors like Marlon Yard from Harlequins. No interest.
Okay.
Yeah, there you go. Sammy says he thinks he thought the 2021 World Cup was confirmed for 16 teams. So there you go. So it will be less convoluted. But I'm sure we'll still manage to do something there. David says, why play two hookers at the same time? Give Hodgson a rest or play him for 80 minutes and free up a space on the bench for another prop stroke second row. Well, as we discovered, PNG play four.
Yes.
So who knows?
I'm looking forward to seeing Michael McAlorum going up against the PNG boys because that's how he plays. He's rough, isn't he, McAlorum?
Oh, very much so. As we said before, it's great to see players given a chance at the highest level and grab it. And that's what all the players... And I know a team, you know, you can say, well, Scotland lost and Wales lost and whatever. A team's got to win or lose, unless it's a draw. And these players are going out there. Can you imagine those Welsh players, the experience they had that over that weekend?
Yeah, I mean, this is what it's all about, isn't it?
You're never going to be able to replicate that again.
Yeah, this is what it's all about. I know it's tough. They got well beaten in the end.
But will that make Regan Grace a much better player later on in his career?
May well
do. Who knows? Vindy says, so few penalties in that England game enabled the game to flow better. I don't think we ever looked like winning, but we were competitive. I think the concern is we possibly didn't have the best options when we were close to the Australian line. But again,
is that not a good thing, though? It's not like England have played their absolute best and still can't beat them. England have done all right. This is what does me in about the Four Nations and about the World Cup. England just have to produce it once when it genuinely really, really matters.
Which is what
That's the big thing.
Well, Nick says, hi, lads, no World Cup is won after the first game. Wasn't in 95, was it, when England won the group game? We looked pretty good, and McGilvery scared the Aussies to death. Yeah, the amount of tweets saying, bring him to the NRL was great, wasn't it?
What was that the reaction,
Oh, yeah, they loved him. Curry at centre and get Gale running at the line more. We have a real chance. Roby has to start as Hodgson. He's too greasy around the ruck and wants to do everything. Yeah, I think that I think that might be the problem with Hodgson. Not that he's not a great player, just that he wanted to be involved too much.
I think Nick's a facts fan, if memory serves me right. Nick, thoughts on the bash? Blackpool again, facts v Fev. You know, we went to the game at the end of last season. We covered it live on Radio Yorkshire. Deemed the £50,000 game. Surely it distorts the competition that those two have to play three times.
Terry's getting sick to death of hearing Phil Kaplan. He's gone now. It's so frustrating. He talks loads of sense every week, but it seems no one at the Rugby League listens. Can we get him on the Rugby League board?
I'm just laughing at Twitter. Do you think someone scheduled a tweet wrong?
Yeah. Leeds aren't playing Derby.
Not tonight. Well, if they are, there's not many there.
Live on Radio Yorkshire tomorrow.
Yes.
Mary says, McShane to Gale to Shenton to Eden. That worked well this season. Yeah, but unfortunately, only one of them's there. So,
Mary, you got to be gutted. No Shenton. I mean, the thing is with Eden, is you look at Hall and McGilvery and you think, fair play. Yeah. Fair. They're very good. They've not really ever let England down. And they're good, solid. And Eden's had a great year, hasn't quite done enough to get in the team.
But
Shenton, he's got to be in for mine, but he's not. We haven't
picked enough centres, have we? I think Bateman's... And again, this is not knocking John Bateman, who's obviously a very fine rugby league player, but there were moments where you thought, if we had a centre there, would he have done something different?
Top flight sport is about the 1%er, the half a percenter. And as Phil said, when the ball gets knocked out of Bateman, his reaction is not that of a centre.
Johnny Lomax knocks on as a fullback. All fullbacks knock on.
Yeah,
you know that's part of the job.
That's it. But it's just those one percenters, and that's why when you take square pegs and put them in round holes, it doesn't necessarily work.
Eden can't defend, says Dawn. David says he had a nightmare at Brisbane under Bennett. Well.
Well, there you go. And that might be why he's not in. We don't know. I don't think that gives Shenton.
Craig says, would Sneed's kicking game have been better than Gale? I think Gale's getting a lot of unfair criticism here to an extent. I don't think he was terrible. Yes, the England kicking game wasn't good in the first half, but that was both him and Widdop.
But is that because they were on the back foot? They were doing a lot of defending, means you're kicking from deeper in your own half. I know a few people I've spoken to said, look, it would have helped had they been kicking off the front foot a lot more than they were, but...
Australia were just very, very good in defence. Dawn also says, why isn't Purcell being played at centre?
Well, Dawn, that's a question we've asked. And that's Dawn, who I believe is a Wigan fan, asking why a Saints player's not in the team. So, you know.
Well, we'll get one of our spies in the camp to ask Wayne Bennett this week. And he probably won't answer, but you know.
Well, we'll ask the question.
Sarah says, let's face it, we're only going to beat the Aussies once in a World Cup at best. Why waste it in the group stage? Let's beat them when it counts.
Correct.
I like, the fact everyone believes that because we've lost this game, if we play them again, we'll beat them. Fingers crossed. At least they played a lot. The main thing is, having seen the game in the flesh last year at the Olympic Stadium and having seen the game on TV on Friday, England played a lot better than they did at the Olympic Stadium last November. We played a lot better this week rather than we did last year. Neil's asked, is anyone giving Tonga a chance? Got every chance of making the semis.
You've got to do. You never know.
I should say as well, congratulations to Jared Haynie. He brought the try-scoring record in the World Cup this weekend with, I think, his 14th or 15th.
Yeah. Beat Bobby Fulton, is that right?
Yeah, so real legend of the game there. Vinti says, Josh Mantelato's gather and pass for that Italian try was exceptional and a standout moment for him in the World Cup so far. Of course, we saw him do so much for Hulkingston Rovers in his spell there. Vinny thinks Percival could play at fullback. Would rather return the ball back better than Lomax. Now we're back to square pegs in round holes again.
No, come on. Not going with that.
Brian says Widdop was not very good. Do you think Gareth Widdop, as the problem he has for our eyes over here, is that we don't see him live in the flesh, and perhaps we're bulled up by what everyone says about him.
Everyone says, oh, he's great, isn't he? Which obviously he is.
Even
when Bennett said he was great until he got injured, and then when he came back, he was all right, but not great.
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe he's finding his form. You don't play with a lot of these guys week in, week out.
Mark says, Willip's long cut-out pass to McGilvey was our only attacking move. Watkins needs to see some more of the ball.
Well, I say that at Leeds, but they still won the grand final.
Andy says, get Rashford in. It will be interesting to see the team for the next two games, because that's not necessarily representative of the team that will play in the semi-final and final, should England make it that far.
Yeah. John's made a point. He feels the teams have been paired up well at the Bash.
Yeah, well, here are the fixtures if you've not seen them. He says, clicking on the link on our website, radioyorkshire.co.uk. On the Saturday, kicks off with Barrow versus Sheffield, followed by Halifax, Featherstone and Toronto versus Lee. And on the Sunday, it's Toulouse versus London. Rochdale versus Swinton and Batley versus Dewsbury, the final game.
Here's a question for the listeners. Who do they want to win, the neutral? Who do they want to win, Toronto against Lee?
Because both are kind of disliked in different ways, aren't they?
Yeah.
I don't mean to come across as...
No, I think that's a fair comment. I think that's a fair comment. So, who would you want to win?
I'm still... I've got to question this whole... We've been relegated, so we've got to release players because we can't keep them to the contracts they were on, and then sign players from the NRL.
They're signing loads of players.
It's disingenuous, isn't it? To say we've got to release this player.
And this is not us doing this after... We said this last year.
To say they've released one player and then sign a whole load of other players, it's a bit... come on.
It's a cop-out to get out of a contract you might not want to honour, and I think it's poor form.
Interesting. Lee are going to be fascinating this year because they are bringing in a lot of players.
They are. But that doesn't. And, of course, they've released our pal Paul Cook as well, who's worked with us here at Radio Yorkshire.
We've been asked about that as well. Andrew's saying, when is Rugby League going to address the problem of coaches leaving to Union, i.e. Paul Cook going from Lee back to Doncaster? Well, I guess the back there is a clue there, isn't it? But... what can we do? Should should we, you know, we've got these ambassador contracts for players. Should we be doing something as a sport to keep talented young coaches in the sport? Or will the law of, I don't know what the deal, obviously Paul Cook going back to Doncaster, it's a club he knows and he's close to home as well, so there are other factors.
All right then, the question there, who's that? Was that Andy or something?
It was Andy, I think.
Who is going to give Paul Cook a job in Super League? And that's the reason, you know, we've got Carl Hall on next week, who's the Doncaster, he's in charge at Donny, he employed Paul and had to sack him, and they are ultimately very, very good friends. But who is going to give Paul a chance at a higher level? So maybe this is a move he had to make. It suits, clearly, as I know from speaking to Paul, it suits his personal circumstances very nicely indeed. But was he ever going to get a Super League gig? It's a question, isn't it?
What do you think? At RLNOI on Facebook. We're live until 8 o'clock.
As ever.
As we will
the
be
salary cap. Don't worry about that. We're breaking it next week. We'll have a full house next week.
Last year on the World Cup for the moment. Nick says, let's embrace the World Cup because it's in every newspaper and BBC Two, according to Phil. I'm not sure he's being facetious there or not. Andrew says, we need more World Cup games on TV. Coverage has been poor outside of the England game. Get the games on BBC Two live. I think there is a... I don't see why they can't show the other home nations games. Especially
I think that is poor form. I really think it's poor form.
Some old black and white films or something.
Exactly.
And you're only taking a feed from Australia. Yeah. You are only sticking Tanya or whoever in a TV studio with Yesterday.
And with the best will in the world, that's not going to cost a lot of money, is it?
No.
And it's live sport. Get it on there. Let's see it.
So, you know. And why aren't they showing them? There's no reason. If the deal for the World Cup was that the BBC only paid for the England games, why don't we just give them the Scotland and the Wales and the Ireland games as well? Because with the best way in the world, the only people watching the World Cup on Premier Sports are people who like rugby league because they've paid for it towards the NRL.
And I still maintain that figure is not very high.
So, you know, why aren't we putting games like Fiji USA on Facebook Live? The WTA tennis event was in Singapore last week, the end of season finals. Doubles tennis, no one cares. They were showing those matches live on Facebook. So people just scrolling down their feed were watching them.
Mm.
Why can't we do that with Fiji USA? Or, you know, games which aren't the... I'm not saying you should give away the marquee games necessarily for free.
Yeah, but,
you know...
People will watch live sport.
Yeah, but there you go, it's not on. It's disappointing, but at least the highlights on Saturday afternoon were on at, you know, prime time on Saturday afternoon. Sunday, of course, you weren't on in Scotland at 5 o'clock to show highlights of their game.
How does that work?
I don't know.
Anyway.
But they can show the NFL live, which is involving no one from these countries, but there you go.
Okay.
Glint asks us, do we know anything about the Salford yet?
No, not yet.
Got a new badge.
Yeah, they've got a new badge.
Fixtures are out on the 1st.
No official confirmation of what's happening regarding the takeover. It's going to be a tough year. You know, we've seen Ben Murdoch, Masilla going. You've got to imagine, you know, Michael Dobson's already gone. I think there are going to be more. I wouldn't be surprised if the likes of Craig Kopchak don't look to move on as well. Now, it's going to be really, really tough.
John says, Salford paid for a lot of players. It didn't work, so it may backfire for Lee. Well, we'll find out, won't we? David says, Paul could have gone to the Broncos. I'm trying to get Paul Cook a job now.
Yeah.
He's got one. Robert says, Wigan or Leeds assistant coach.
Well... there you go, Robert. But if the offer doesn't come, he can't go, can he?
Andrew would have had him at the Bulls. Might want job security, though.
Yeah.
Vinny says at least it could be on BBC Wales or BBC Alba. It's true. David says, what's the red button for? Well, again, if they haven't got the rights to those games, it's difficult because we don't know what the contract is.
Yeah, yeah.
This is not necessarily a criticism of the BBC.
And as you said as well, no radio coverage in Australia because they couldn't agree a fee for it.
Which
is
shocking.
It shows you...
the organisers here have to take a lot of the blame.
You know, is there an onus on the organisers to make sure it's seen by as many people? I mean,
which means that there are no radio stations in Australia covering the games because the games over here have been broadcast from a studio in Salford.
Yeah.
Which, you know, is...
Those are limited in number.
So, I don't know. And again, we talk about people saying the RFL should have spent more money on marketing the competition over here. But again, that's down to the organisers of the World Cup. They could have put adverts on over here. They haven't. But there you go. Brian says they wouldn't show the rugby league when I was under 17s football. Well, then that goes to a point of no one cared about the under 17s World Cup until England got to the final.
Yeah.
Much like the
bandwagon jumping springs to mind.
It's, you know, how can we change that? We as a sport can't change that. We have to question why some things get covered on TV and other things don't, and we don't have the answers.
And you would also say, I'm sure, should Scotland have got to the World Cup final, it would have been on for you to watch. Yeah. So you've almost got to create the demand, haven't you? But
The TV coverage is awful, says Paul, as is the marketing, sadly. I don't know if the TV coverage has been awful. I mean, as I say, I've watched most of it on Australian TV, so
yeah.
I watched a bit on the BBC of the England game. I've watched the highlights, and they were fine highlight programmes. Sean Edwards is an interesting person to have on, because he obviously brings a different perspective and was a very good player. And Mark Chapman's a brilliant, brilliant presenter, one of the best TV sports presenters out there. So they've got the right people on there, to an extent.
Yeah.
Tim says, is Laurie Daly turning into Ken Dodd? I was very concerned about Laurie Daly's hair. He looked very... do you remember the... I'm trying to think of the comedy program where they had someone who dyed their hair with boot polish. It looks a bit like that. I'm a bit concerned. Not saying he
just
dyes
just for
his
men
hair.
Or...
Something that's not quite...
Well, the products available.
Yeah. Tweets and stuff on the Magic Weekend. Gallant Youths, obviously.
Batley
fan.
Batley.
I'll probably stay at home again and listen to us on TV. I'll listen to us on the radio. I'd rather they moved it to somewhere smaller or scrapped it. Bring back the Northern Rail Cup instead. Well, now, here's the interesting. Where's the League One Cup? It appears to have gone... Because there's no final on the schedule.
We are a big fan of the... and we should stop calling it the Northern Rail Cup because they don't sponsor this
and
show.
And it's not even called that anymore.
And it's not called that anymore. Yeah. So, I'm with you. I think there should be. And we've gone double-header at Wembley. Teams in the Championship and League One can enter... They're at Wembley for the finalists. It's got to be a winner, hasn't it?
And,
it's got to be.
I guess in terms of smaller venues, I guess it's built around it being at the seaside, isn't it? So when they moved the Championship Stroke League One Cup to Halifax, didn't have the same kind of thing, did it?
The issue I have, and a lot of people, and we'll come, you know, if you want to get in touch tonight at RL on RY, you can get in touch on the Radio Yorkshire Facebook page. A lot of people are going, oh, well... Same concept of Magic, so if that's dead, Magic's dead. No, Magic, and we've been pretty much to everyone in the last few years. We go to Newcastle. We like the city. It's great, good atmosphere, plenty of people there, great stadium, great environment. I've been to Blackpool. It's not the same. There's not the number of fans there, so you don't get the atmosphere that you get there. And you don't get... I'm not being disrespectful, because I enjoy watching the rugby. You know, I enjoy watching it. Even that Batley Dewsbury game we had to watch last year, even that one, I enjoyed watching it. But it's just, what image does it sell to the people at home watching it on the television? There's no one there.
I'm trying to... I hear it. It's Ash with the comment. Brilliant concept on weekend. I'll be going, but there isn't enough fans throughout the league for it to be successful. And what doesn't help is, it's the weekend after Magic.
Yeah.
If you're a fan of a Super League club, you're probably going to be at that. So why would you spend another weekend away?
Yeah.
Booking more hotels, transport, whatever.
Mm.
I don't think there's any other place in the county you can have it because of the availability of football stadiums, although I guess Blackpool probably need the money, so it's more apt to have another event than a Premier League ground. But where else can you hold this event? When I wrote my article in 4020 magazine about it earlier in the summer, I couldn't come up with a conclusion as to what the point of the event is, other than it's a sop to fans in the Championship and League One, that they have their own mini Magic weekend as well. And the fact that it's at the beach is a perfect location for an event like this, because if not all of your family are Rugby League fans, but you want to go see Rochdale versus Swinton, you can go there, the rest of the family can go to the beach, the amusements or whatever.
Yeah.
And there isn't necessarily another place like that you can hold an event like this. But
fair point.
Who is going to go? Sid says Lee versus Toronto will be watched by three men and a dog. Scrap the bash, the ground will be empty.
No, I think Lee will take a few fans. And the question is for me, is there enough neutral pulling? Are Toronto this big crowd attracting myth that everyone would have you believe? Well, I'm saying no, they're not.
Well, John says the clubs need to promote the bash more, and I guess this is...
Fair dues.
In terms of the budgets in Championship.
But I would say, John, that's the same of every game, isn't it? Yeah. That's the same of every game.
I enjoy it. You know, I've been to all three of them. I enjoy it. And what we've seen, the numbers don't lie. The attendances have gone up every year, but the attendances last year also had Bradford and Hull KR. And
that's
saw on
the worry.
Second day,
that's the worry.
The second day was the lowest attendance on any day in the six that have been.
Yeah.
And obviously over a weekend, it was better. But it's how do you get that neutral buying? And I'm not sure how. What is there this weekend, well, next weekend, next year, that would get people to go? Is it Toronto? Is it the something different in that? We've seen Toulouse now for the last however many years, so they're not quite as sexy.
I'll ask this question then. I like the concept of games, multiple games, one venue.
Yeah.
What about splitting it and having just 2 days at different things? So I've one maybe in Lancashire, one in Yorkshire, and I know you've got the outer clubs to come into that. But would you get more fans going that way when it's just one day?
Possibly.
I don't know. I'm asking the question.
Or do you have... I'm just trying to come up with different... Do you have it all at, say, the Etihad, where you've got the big stadium, and you have the Super League games there, and you have the Championship games in the mini-stadium? Now, would Championship fans, League One fans, whatever, accept that as they are inferior, they can't play at the big stadium? But they're also, if you're sat there and you've watched Wakefield versus Castleford, they think, well, what shall I do now? Should I watch Warrington versus Widnes? No. Shall I go watch Batley versus Dewsbury instead? Maybe. I don't know. It's how do you work out an event which you can have over maybe multiple stadiums in the same place? There's something there, but what is it? But we don't know what it is.
I don't know. The guy who tweeted in said, there's not enough fans go. That's the problem. That's it. If it was front of a sold-out crowd, and I think that should be the aim of the RFL this year, is to sell out that ground at Newcastle and say, right, we have sold every ticket. You can't get a ticket for love nor money. That's got to be the challenge.
I don't know what the deal is with tickets for the bash with clubs, whether season tickets get a discount or whatever, but why not we just say to people, if you've got a season ticket, there you go, free ticket to the bash. Because at least then you're going to get people in there.
Yeah.
And hopefully they'll bring some more people and they'll drink beer and they'll...
Or if you buy a ticket to Magic, you get a 50% off a bash. I don't know. But things, you know, it can't help to try.
I know we don't like to undersell the sport in a sense, but this is starting from a standing start and you have lost how many in guaranteeing in Bradford and Hull KR last year?
I'd say 5,000 minimum. Minimum. I think that's a conservative estimate as well.
As Rick says, Bradford lose a great weekend, no doubt, but with trips to Toronto and Toulouse and potentially twice if they make the playoffs, it's another weekend away to play for. Family's entertainment budgets only go so far. And I think that's why you almost have to give the tickets away.
Okay.
I mean, you know, how many events do we see where tickets are given away for these sporting events? Mm. And yes, Rugby League's been around since 1895, but we're trying to sell these clubs who don't get tens of thousands of people going to them. So.
Yeah, I see someone's just tweeted in, I think it was Nigel, wasn't it, who says, if Toronto have no way following, why were most League One clubs' biggest crowds last season a game v Toronto? Right, OK, I get your point. And York, I would say, magnificent. It got over 2,500 people, which is superb.
And that was down to marketing.
But I looked at the crowds when they went to Workington and Whitehaven. They weren't twice what they would be. They might have been a little bit up. It's a novelty thing. It's a novelty project. Yeah, I just...
Paul says, one big bank holiday weekend, Friday to Monday, play them all over the whole weekend, possibly. Or maybe a game on the Friday night, a game on the Monday afternoon, and then the rest in the...
Possibly.
Yeah. We're all coming up with ideas. There's no point...
Well, Mark Spencer said, what about the Challenge Cup quarter-final back? We've said this before. We have said this before. Agree.
The semi should be in one place on one day. I know there's a TV issue.
No, they didn't get it. Probably, you know.
They'll stick one of them on BBC Two. It doesn't matter because we've got to get the football scores on or, you know, underwater women's rugby union. The Scotland's got 1,500 for the Wolfpack. Record crowd, says Tim. I can't wait for the women's World Cup.
What's that, sorry?
Scotland's got 1,500 for the Wolfpack. Their record crowd.
Right. Well done. Well done.
Yeah, Mark's mentioned a nines tournament.
My question there, though, then, have the Scholars built on that record crowd since? Probably not.
Other things to do with the bash, and because we've got loads of stuff about this. Vindy said it was a poor man's Magic. I think we covered that one. Dawn says, a green magic has lost its magic for me. We need to be reducing the games. There are so many played now, it's watering the game down and running players ragged. I think we can reduce the number of games without reducing the number of events we have. And the thing that has to be said about the Magic Weekend is it attracts money into the sport.
Hmm.
It might not go to who you want it to go to.
Well, that's a different issue, isn't it?
It attracts money into the governing body, and that's an important thing. I'm sure the clubs make some money out of it. It's, well, as Andy said, I think Magic will have to be scrapped when Toronto and New York are in it. Super League will have to have an NRL format. Not everyone plays twice, as they've done in the NFL, as they've done in many sports.
Yeah.
You know, just because we've always had home and away fixtures doesn't mean we haven't always had it, but doesn't mean we have to have it. The fixture list is inconsistent anyway because of Magic Weekend and because of the eights. Maybe it will have to be that way in the future. And it's okay. We've talked about this Hull KR not wanting to play Hull FC, which is bizarre. They've come out and said this. I know that they cite that Wigan said they didn't want to play against St Helens, but we don't know that the RFL have deliberately kept apart Wigan and St Helens. That's just conjecture. Michael says, with the game for the Clive Sullivan Trophy, that's four derbies in Hull, which is too many. Well, play one of the regular Super League games for the trophy. Mm-hmm. What if you'll do that with the Alan Martin Trophy? It happens. Derby and Nottingham Forest, didn't they, in the football the other week, play for the Brian Clough Trophy in a regular season game. You don't have to have an extra friendly for a trophy. You can make it part of the season if you want. Well, look at the famed Leeds Rhinos Beveridge Trophy. Yeah, which you didn't even know about.
Yeah.
You can work these things out. You don't have to play friendlies against your rival side.
Yeah, exactly. All right.
You know, what's the point?
Exactly.
Rick's happy with Fev at the Bash because he's a Halifax fan. Good record against them at Bloomfield Road. Yeah, 37-0 2 years ago. And, of course, Fev have never won a game at the Bash.
It's amazing, that, isn't it? Absolutely amazing.
Roy says he won't be going to the Magic next season as he's fed up of the rugby league manipulation of the fixtures. Another Hull derby left till Sunday night.
Roy, why is the Hull derby the last game on? Have a think about where Hull is in relation to Newcastle. It's the nearest possible double venue where you get more crowd likely to stay. If you're from Wigan, right, or from Warrington or Widnes, it's going to take you longer to get home than it will if you live in Hull. Hence, Hull is the last game on a Sunday night. Hence, before, last game on has been Castleford and Leeds, because it's not as far to get to Leeds as it is to get to Warrington.
We can't moan that we want more media attention, but then put together fixtures that the media want to cover.
Yeah.
Which is why the whole nonsense last week about you don't have to buy the Sun newspaper, and if you have reasons not to buy the Sun, and we all know what they are,
yeah,
that's fair enough. Don't buy the Sun, don't read the 8-page pullout. But to moan about it because of what was on the front page, and people aren't aware, you know, we work in this industry, so we know how it works. Gary Carter doesn't write the headlines in the Sun.
Mm.
Somebody else does that. You know, people within the media industry know that, should know that. People outside may not know that. We can't moan that there's an 8-page pullout in a paper ahead of a World Cup when a lot of newspapers have done not as much of that. And that's no fault of the people who write for those newspapers, because we all know they have to fight tooth and nail to get coverage of our sport. So with the Magic Weekend, which does provide coverage of the sport, if we have to manipulate things, we have to do it. Rugby union's double headers.
Yeah.
They're just a nonsense
made
to make money.
Just so that they can say they got however many thousand
exactly.
through the gate.
And then when they do the average attendance at the end of the year, oh, look at the average attendance. Yeah, because you had 80,000 people there paying a fiver.
Yeah.
Well, if Rugby Union has to do that at Twickenham and Wembley, then if we give away tickets for a fiver to the Bash or just whatever...
Yeah. Probably a good marketing ploy from them or the sponsor who gets access to all those details, etc. There is generally thinking behind why people do some things, and that's probably where our great sport falls down. Let us know at RL on RY on Twitter. You can get in touch with the Radio Yorkshire Facebook page if you want to get in touch.
Now we turn it into an international nines competition, Mark says. Australia can enter Queensland and New South Wales. We can't get them over for a tour normally, the Australians.
It's going to be interesting how it all pans out, isn't it? The you know, we're talking about the Kangaroo Tour, the Great Britain Tour, etc. Is it going to happen?
But what is it just something thrown out there? It's like when people say, oh, we're going to build a new stadium in Wakefield, and then amazingly, where's it gone?
Well, hold on a second here. You know, look, I'm reading between the lines, and that's all I am doing. And that's all, you know, I'm reading between the lines. If the deal doesn't suit Wakefield, they don't have to commit to it. We've seen how many football clubs have you seen sell their house, go to a nice new shop, Coventry.
Let me give you one word: Salford.
Yeah, Coventry
City. How's the Bell Stadium working out?
Coventry City football club sold their soul, sold their ground, got the new. Oh, the council on this is going to be great, and all of a sudden you've got no income, and then you start struggling, and then your team gets worse, unless fans start going, and then the wheels fall off. Wakefield have got to make this move go. It's like buying it. If you rent your property, you're not going to go and rent somewhere that costs you too much or doesn't give you what you need, are you?
No.
So, look, I think there's in it. I think the deal will get done. I still think it'll happen. I might be an idiot for thinking
that. It's all brinksmanship, isn't it?
It is. It's a game of cards. And who's got the cards? We don't know. How good is Michael Carr at poker? Well, we're going to find out, I think.
Yeah. We'll get him out. Someone asked if we'll get him in again. We'll get him in again, but he's on holiday, I think.
He was on holiday when I spoke to him last week. I messaged him, not realising he was on holiday. Felt quite rude.
Jimmy says, the bash is £25 for a day. Certainly not a cheap ticket. Well, that's the thing. If we have to undersell things, if we're going to create this thing and we're saying, right, here's the summer bash, this is happening, if we have to just give away the tickets to make it look like an event, and in the future...
Yeah,
people might turn up. We're not like the NFL. We've got a massive budget. We've got a free advert on the BBC every week. We haven't got that. Where we're saying to people, look how exciting the NFL is. Come watch a game at Wembley and pay 80, 90, 100 quid. If we have to give away tickets to watch Second Division Rugby League in a stadium, so be it.
Yeah, it's a fair point. But £25, like you said, yeah. Look, you go to Blackpool quite a bit. I've been to Blackpool. I've done that with the kids, been there for the day. You're talking an expensive day out. Mm. Then if you're paying £25 times two, I don't know if the kids have to pay, programmes, hot dog. We've been here before. It is an expensive day out. Maybe we need to look as well, subsidised travel on a Thursday night.
Yep.
Maybe the sponsor needs to put some coin in and say, right, we'll put on 5 free buses from every club. If you want to go, you sign up, you go on the day trip, whatever. I don't know. There's got to be ways around it.
Right, Phil says £25 to watch 3 matches. Nothing wrong with that. I guess the only issue with that is, are people staying for 3 matches or just going to watch them?
I don't know what it costs to go watch a championship game at the minute, but I would suggest, if it's not £25, it can't be. If it was what you paid to go watch your own team, you might pay it. Because ultimately... if you got to support your own team, that's the only game you're actually bothered about, isn't it?
It's an interesting thing. Oh, as Paul said, discount the bash tickets for season tickets. Right, give them away for free. Just give them away.
Maybe.
At RL on RY. Nick says, hi, lads. I'm a big Halifax fan and we've been in the Championship a long time now since the Golden Days. Pleasure in the game to win trophies and medals and playing in big occasions. There was nothing wrong with the Northern Rail Cup. It was a great concept which fans bought into. The game is dying at the second tier level, so let's bring a concept back to attract the fans along.
Nick, we have said, take the final to Wembley, make it a double. Can you imagine Halifax playing Fev in the semi-final to get to Wembley? What a game that would be. You know, I use those two clubs. It could be Batley Junior, it could be Working in White, whoever. How big a game you're making... You've got the final, but to get to the final, you're making two events out of it. We don't do that. People say, oh, it's because they've got to hire Wembley or whatever. You know, and they have to hire it by the hour. Pay the money. Pay the money and do it. And get it there. And I tell you what, you would be getting bigger crowds for those games, for the Cup, for the League One sides. What a day that would be. Your team playing at Wembley. Honestly, it would. And... you would get a bigger crowd at Wembley for the Challenge Cup and the Cup final.
Jane says apparently it was £25 to watch Bradford. That's really well spent.
Well,
I'm not surprised.
Who
that
said that?
Jane, I'm not surprised at that.
Well, there you go, Jane. £25. Robbery.
Tom says, do you think for the bash to work, they could perhaps change your venue? It's not an expansion programme like Magic is supposed to be. I'm not sure even Magic's supposed to be that anymore. So they could perhaps take it elsewhere other than Blackpool, and it may draw more interest. I don't know where, though. That's the thing. I'm not saying Blackpool's... I'm not a massive fan of Blackpool as a place.
I get
it.
Look...
because, you know, it is what it is. So
yeah.
I think I wrote that in the article, but if I'm going there for the weekend, I'm going there because of the rugby league's there.
Mm.
But I don't know. It's... Newcastle is a great location for the Magic weekend. We hope it stays there a long time. And again, as we said, you know, take it to Coventry. No one's going to stay in Coventry for a weekend. You take it to Manchester's too close. Because with Manchester, you just go watch your team and go home.
Yeah.
There's no reason to stay there. And I think that's part of the... Do we get it? All right, then obviously City's bid for Magic Weekend. Does the Blackpool Tourist Board or whatever, do they give us any...
Yeah.
Otherwise, do we just scrap it?
Yeah.
We don't... What
My
is the
answer
point?
Is they won't pay.
No. What's the point of
Might
that?
Get the ground on the cheap or whatever because Blackpool want the money, but...
On England, he says, by the way, I feel the intensity dropped off in the first half when Hill and Graham went off and there was no Alex Warmsley to keep momentum going. Hines proving everyone right that he's rubbish.
Ah.
Yeah, he does stick out like a another square peg in another round hole. Rick says, we should have it on the Isle of Wight. I've not been there for years, I'll be all right. I've got any stadiums there. Nick says, I remember Hunslet versus Hull carrying the plate at Wembley. It was a massive occasion, which he still talks about now in Hunslet. Wembley is the key to
it
all.
It is. You put a cup final, anyone. You see, with the finals at Wembley, automatically it adds kudos to the competition, doesn't it? It does. It's as simple as that. As a one-off for you as a fan, are you going to go, oh, and you can stay and watch the Challenge Cup final as well? The tickets are generally pretty cheap. Get on it. That's what it's almost that easy that we must be missing something. Why they're not doing it? But why are they not doing it?
John says Blackpool is the right place, but promoting the game is poor from all the clubs. What do the clubs get from the bash? Do they get ticket sales? Well, I assume they get a percentage. I don't know.
I think they will do. They get a percentage of away tickets. I presume it works very similar.
They get to bring out another shirt. It's our summer bash shirt. Come and pay another £50 or whatever.
Yeah.
Roy says, Hull and Rovers fans have to work on Monday like most of us. Why should they be penalised by the Sunday night match because it's the biggest derby? Because that's just how it is.
Right. How it is, mate.
The problem with all this is, and this is a strange rugby league thing, isn't it? Because, yes, football fans mind when they have long-distance weekday trips, midweek trips, but they make them, knowing that they've got to go to work the next day. We do have a propensity to moan a lot. I know the games are on Thursday night. It's not ideal because we work Fridays. Well, you either go or you don't. I think this is the thing people forget. They do have a choice.
Yeah.
You don't have to go.
This is not North Korea.
I know you want to go, but sometimes you just can't. And do we... Well, let's not have Hull versus Hull KR then. Let's put one up. Well, we're going to put on last Widnes Salford. No one in the stadium. Looked great, won't it?
Yeah.
Someone flicks over.
Yeah.
You either right, Hull or Hull KR. You keep telling us you're big clubs. You keep telling us you've got the best support in the world.
Yeah,
there you go. You can't have it both ways.
No, you can't. That is a
if
you
support a club like mine or Huddersfield, where there are a lower number of spectators, and those spectators are loyal, and they go week in, week out, and they go away. And they're out. This is what annoys me when people say, "Oh, Huddersfield, they've got no away support." Yeah, but those people who go. They go all the time.
And they make loads of noise.
The money they put into the club is like the money you put into your club.
Yeah. Yeah. Don't criticise the ones that do go.
You know, if you don't want to go to the Magic Weekend, don't go. So would you go if it was Hull FC versus Widnes?
No,
or
probably
Hull KR
not.
Versus Salford?
Probably not. No.
So that's
which
it.
You've answered your own question, haven't you?
You know, it's all right if you support Wakefield because you just get whoever you get. But if you're a so-called big club... Then people want to see the broadcasters, the people. We have to remember, and when people say, oh, I wish Premier Sport had Super League. No, you don't, because they ain't going to put in the amount of money Sky do. And Sky might, you know, put more money into the sport. We might wish they put more money into the sport. But without Sky, and again, this is what people need to remember, sad reality, where would our sport be?
Correct. Mark's paid £25 for his coach and ticket to the Saturday at Magic Weekend next year. Bargain.
There's National Holidays doing a coach trip to the Magic Weekend. I think it's £129.
Is it?
Should have done that instead of get a hotel in. That'd be cheaper than what we've got.
I'll have a look at that. Imagine getting Scully on there at 11:30 at night.
As Bob says, and this is a negative, hotels in Newcastle are overpriced. It's a rip-off.
I agree with that, Bob. And we... Look, did we get prior notice? We had
not
a
much.
Little bit of a heads up as to when it might be. We booked. It's still more than we paid last year. But that money, in effect, should be going back at the RFL because surely Gateshead and Newcastle have put some money in to take it.
And that's... We have to accept that we're not football and we have to take every shilling we can from wherever we can take it.
Yeah, exactly.
Otherwise, we're going to be... I don't want to say Speedway again.
No, don't say Speedway.
Vinci says he stayed in Sunderland last year, and that's an option. That, you know,
how did you get home? Because we looked at that, because it is cheaper to stay in Sunderland, quite a lot cheaper, and it's not that far away. Was it a taxi job? Did you get on the bus, the train? Tell it, serious question. How did you get home? Did you have a few pots after the game, during the day, or did you drive? These are things people need to know.
Tony says, there's no 3 weeks. The season is long enough. When Lee got to the quarterfinal of the Challenge Cup a couple of years ago, we ended up playing 7 games in July to catch up. Fixtures which knackered our qualifiers.
What's he on about in terms of the...
just too many games.
The Cup, yeah. Northern Rail.
Yeah.
Our man Phil came up with a good idea and said, you make the Challenge Cup basically 16 teams. So you've got your 12 Super League teams and you can open it up to 4 full-time teams or whatever, the top 4 in the Championship, and that's your 16. Let's be realistic, right? You've seen Lee, we saw Fev get to the quarterfinals, and it has a detrimental effect on them going forward. You offer them the choice. Do you want to go in the North, do you want to go in the lower league one, or do you want to come in this one?
Vinny says it's 25 minutes on the metro.
There you go. We'll have to have a look at that.
Brian camped last year. He had his scurry in a tent.
Brian camped?
Yeah.
Where did you camp?
It's outside the ground, in the fan zone. Hitting the oddballs tent. I don't know. There it says public transport's a problem. Stop watching London Broncos when they move from south-east to north-east London. Oh, but London's a massive place. I've seen it on the map.
Yeah.
Oh, it's bigger than you think. It would have taken hours and cost a lot. Sunday is also National Engineering Works Day. That's just any day there's rugby league on. Yeah. Remember the World Cup final the other year where they just had no trains going back to West Yorkshire. Well done, thank you. Ian's saying he's South Shields. It's his first Magic weekend.
Ian, you'll love it. I guarantee you'll have a good weekend. You will. If you go with the spirit, it's a great stadium. It's a brilliant place to watch rugby. I've not seen a bad seat in that stuff. Sat in probably 3 of the 4 stands, not a bad view in the house.
Nigel says Magic weekend shouldn't be for derby games, but long-distance games where travel is an issue. The problem is, though, you've got to sell fixtures to the neutral that they want to go and see. And again, I'll use Wakefield and Huddersfield fans. Yeah, Huddersfield versus Catalans, or wherever they're playing, I can't remember. They're going to go watch that game because they want to go watch Huddersfield because they're their team. Are they more likely to stay on because it's Cass versus Leeds or Hull KR afterwards? They probably are. Are they going to stay if it's Saints versus Widnes? No. I think we're just going to turn up for the last game on the Saturday, aren't we? Yeah. Gareth says, what's the impact on rugby league to the loss of Dr. Kukash? Will he be back? Will he be missed?
I think he'll be back. I think he'll miss it. I think he'll come back.
Brian says, we can't keep amateur teams out of the Challenge Cup.
Fair dues. Let them enter, Brian. To be fair, I don't see the amateur teams moaning about playing too many games, though. So I get your point, but that's not the point we're arguing against.
Everything in sport is designed for how the world was when the sport was created, and whether that's rugby league football or whatever, and it's a matter of, do we make changes that will make more sense?
Well, here's the point then. Featherstone Rovers back in the 80s.
Yeah.
What was their ambition? Probably to win the Challenge Cup. And they did so, didn't they, in the 80s? What's their ambition now? Is it to win the Challenge Cup or is it to get in the top 4 of the Championship? So their priorities have changed. Not the game. The game's not saying to them, you can't have this, you can't have that. Featherstone have prioritised. They showed that last year. They prioritised getting in the top 4. But I'm sure if you said to Mark Campbell, by the way, though, you don't have to go to Leeds and play, but you might have to go to Workington and play, and you go to Wembley if you win, they'd be up for that, definitely.
Andy's enjoying the fact we've not talked about Leeds tonight. I've seen the North Stand
Andy,
now.
Why did Andy mention Leeds?
The North Stand now, it's half knocked down.
Yeah, you see what you've got now,
it's like
Andy.
Bellevue.
We've got rid. That's actually what's happened. It's like segregation on this show. We've got rid of the Leeds element of it. We've banned them. That's what we've done. We've banned them.
Melway says, will the World Club Challenge take place in Oz? Because Gary Hetherington's out there at the moment.
I guarantee it will.
It's this Hull and
which
Wigan,
means Cass miss out.
The Hull and Wigan thing is a mess, isn't it?
Yeah, it is.
I know it's a disgrace. I know what I've said about we need to bring money into the sport, so I can't backtrack on that, but it's... is it bringing money into the sport or is it bringing money into Wigan and Hull?
It's bringing money to Wigan and Hull. You can't blame them for taking the money. That, you know, in some ways, you've got to admire them.
Brian's asked that question, why are they allowed to play in Hull?
Well, because I think they've basically said we're going to do it anyway.
Those clubs, or one of those, I don't know which team is the home team. That team
is Wigan.
So Wigan have willingly...
Who took a game to London, it's worth noting,
so Wigan
a couple
have willingly
years ago.
Given up a home fixture. But yeah. Then these teams will moan if we did that for the Magic Weekend or whatever.
Yeah, but they're doing that they're on the proviso. They're getting plenty of money in return.
And?
Well, is that not...
They get some money from the Magic Weekend.
I dare say, Rich, if you said to Michael Carter... I've said this before. Yeah. You said to Michael Carter, Michael... Your game against Catalan, Wakefield Catalan, generally gets a poor crowd. What we're going to do is we'll give you 100 grand, but we're taking the game and it's got to Bristol. You all right with that? Yeah, sure you could sort some out with your season ticket holders. There you go, there's your 100 grand. Everyone's happy. Yeah? That's what they need to do, but they've got to get the buy-in to do that.
Brian says, what about a yearly Rugby League 5 or 6 Nations comp in the winter? I guess we need to cut down.
Season's too long, Brian. That's what people are saying.
We need the competition, but it's where we fit it in.
Just think, though, if we went to 12 teams in Super League, everyone plays each other twice, even if you had a Magic Weekend, you'd have a few free weekends there, wouldn't you? Season would be just as long, but you'd have maybe 4 international weekends in it.
It's again how you sell that competition. And maybe when you sell that competition, you say to the broadcaster they have to show all the games.
Yeah.
Even the one which has 2 teams in you don't want to see. Mm. They always show France Italy on the telly, don't they? On BBC One.
Yeah.
Neither of those teams, you know. Paul, instead of the organisers trying to make big profits, would it not be better for Rugby League for it to be covered by as many outlets as possible? This is back to the World Cup with the rights over the radio, which have been sold to no one because no one will pay the amount of
money. It's ridiculous.
I hope the Australian radio stations are doing what we're doing over here and just covering it off the telly.
Don't know. Can they stop you doing that?
How?
Don't know.
I don't know.
If you actually advertise it, we're going to have live England comments on, but we're just literally sat in the studio eating his bacon sandwich watching the match. Why not?
We should have done that ourselves. get rid of a home and away blanket fixture, says Andy, out of date. And Brian says it's Wigan realising they were not going to win anything, so they wanted to take the spotlight off the other four. Oh, top 4 clubs now. Wigan are going to be an interesting case next year, aren't they? Because if they get off to a poor start, then there will be pressure on Sean Wayne. But as Sean Wayne told us in a press conference, was it last year, year before, that there's always pressure in this job.
Of course there is.
Vinty says, you can't hold back progressive clubs, love him or hate him, when Uncle Mo, there's a name people haven't heard for a while, brought Manly over in 1987. Who'd have thought the legacy would still be ongoing? Well, we hope so, Vinty. Hull and Wigan going to Australia, maybe the thin end of the wedge, more to follow in future pre-seasons.
Possibly.
I wonder one day whether Maurice Lindsay's legacy in the sport will be looked on more favourably than perhaps people think.
Not by the legend. Not by the legend, he won't be happy, will he?
And apart from fans of clubs which didn't get let in the initial Super League and were going to be forced to merge and stuff. What did ever happen to the Warrington-Widnes merger? And Doncaster and Sheffield?
You're just causing problems now, aren't you?
Not with that many people. Vinty says, John says rather, everything discussed tonight boils down to poor marketing, and until that's sorted, the game will struggle. I mean, we keep going back to our offer for the Championship highlights we've put forward, and whether that's marketing or not, it would be a free product. But we live in an interesting time, don't we, in terms of the TV deal. Obviously, Sky have the rights to the Championship, but don't use them. They do show second division rugby union games, as they did yesterday, with crowds comparable to the bigger clubs in our Championship. Do we say, as a governing body, use these rights or lose them?
I think we should.
It's a difficult one, but they aren't being used, so... you know, you've got to... I've upset all the Warrington and Widnes fans now.
Ah, well. No, we'll see. Mind.
It's... we're always at a crossroads, aren't we? We're always looking to where we go forward next, hence why we don't know what the format will be in a year's time, 2 years' time, or whatever. But we do need to be smarter with our media partners, of which we are one, obviously.
Yeah.
But we're not a TV station. We should say that, you know, you put the... to the BBC, you put the Women's Super League show, their football programme, on nationwide. It's on a crap time schedule, like times like the Super League show is, but that's just for women's football in England. And that's shown in Scotland, the Wales, Northern Ireland.
Yeah.
Why isn't the Super League show?
Well, there you go.
If there's enough rubbish on TV that people aren't interested in terms of sport, but it's still on there.
Mm.
We need to be more forceful. Maybe we're scared of losing what we've already got.
But what we've already got ain't getting us anywhere.
You know, we've lost BBC One coverage for the World Cup to go to BBC Two, which people still don't understand that we have lost eyes on our competition.
Yeah. Tell me why. If anyone doubting the difference between BBC One and BBC Two, ask yourself, why is EastEnders on BBC One, not
why
BBC
Why is Andy
Two?
Murray on BBC One and Roger Federer and not the players you've never heard of?
Exactly. Why is Match of the Day on BBC One? Wasn't on BBC
to justify Gary Lineker's extortionate wages.
Correct.
Especially when he works with BT as well.
Hmm.
We did have tweets earlier saying bring back Claire Balding. We like Claire Balding.
We do. And we like Richard de Riviere as well. He's given us a wonderful book to give away, 100 Days at Shook Rugby League. Everyone that's got in touch over the last 2 weeks has been entered in. We will announce the winner of that. We'll do that tomorrow, I think. We'll get that announced out there tomorrow. And let everyone know, it is a great book. If you want to go buy it, it's available in all good books bookstores. There's a few Tales of War for the Legend as well, so they're always worthy of a read.
Should we give away the DVDs this week or next week?
We will give away the DVDs next week.
Next week.
Yes.
Stay tuned next week. Challenge Cup Final DVDs.
It is, indeed. Well, we've managed, Rich. We've managed another 2 hours. It's amazing.
I'll just do this every week now.
What, we're sacking Scully?
Cut the budget.
Legend's gone.
Take their money.
Well, what we could do like pretend we've been relegated and we could get rid of him and then spend the money we spend on him and get someone else in.
Yeah, Andy Kelly or something.
Who would you get in?
Yeah, Andy Kelly.
Answers on a postcard, listeners. Don't forget, download the podcast. Thousands of you do it every week. We appreciate each and every one of you. Believe me, do we appreciate that. Thanks to Rich. Good luck Phil, who is sleeping out tonight in aid of the homeless. I'm sure if you follow him on Twitter, you might be able to get some sponsorship across to him.